In the Gospel of today's Mass, we read, Quo Vadis? Where are you going? And in the Apostles' Creed, we pray every day, I believe he descended into hell. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We all of us have our bad days, don't we? Sometimes we have our really, really bad days. And for many of us, these bad days far outnumber the good ones. But I think that it's all in our outlook, the way we approach the events of life, the mysterious ways of providence. God guides all events that ever occur in this life. But on those days, those bad days, we might tend to be a little bit short with others. Perhaps we might even be tempted to wish evil upon even our closest friends and dearest relatives. But have you ever gotten so out of sorts in the heat of a moment when you're so agitated, or even at that moment when a dark and deep hatred fills your soul, and then you just tell somebody, go to hell? I hope you haven't. But what is the morality of telling someone that? Well, obviously, if you meant it, you would be wishing the greatest of all evils that you could ever wish to anyone, and you would be thereby committing a mortal sin indeed, because you have offended one of the two great commandments, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. What is charity but well-wishing and well-doing? And here you would be wishing the worst of all evils upon him. But let's say that you didn't really mean it. You didn't mean it at all, but you said it simply in a moment of anger and frustration. There was no great scandal, no children around who could hear it. Then it would be only a venial sin, one of anger, and perhaps a lack of Christian charity. But that being said, Bishop Sheen, who is known for his great insights into the problems of modern man, he once wrote a book called Go to Heaven. In it, he said the following. It's a quote from this book. If Horace Greeley, personally I don't know who he is, but Bishop Sheen did, if Horace Greeley didn't believe there was such a thing as territory beyond the Mississippi, he never would have said, go west, young man. And if the modern man did not believe there was such a thing as hell, he would never give so many directives to those whom he did not like to go there. That's a very good insight from this preacher. He then continues, but nobody ever says in these days, go to heaven. That is why he wrote that book, to reverse directions. Rather than telling people to go to hell, he would push them heavenward. But did you actually know our Lord himself went to hell? We pray with great faith whenever we say the Apostles' Creed, I believe he descended into hell. But what do these words mean? I wonder sometimes how many of us would be able to explain them to a puzzled child, or to an inquisitive young adult, or some member of another false church. How many of us could explain those words? But it's important for us to know that this word hell has in fact reference to not one, but four distinct places in lower earth. Hell refers first and foremost to the place of eternal torment, the place of everlasting fire reserved for the devil and all of his followers, and for all of those souls of man that have died in the state of mortal sin. It is a place where the punishments are inescapable. That is the first meaning of hell. The second reference of this word is to purgatory. Did you know that? That purgatory is sometimes called hell. St. Thomas tells us that the same fires that burn eternally in hell burn for a time to purify the souls in purgatory. And that is quite an interesting thought in theology. The third meaning of the word hell is the paradise or limbo of little children, those children who die without baptism. There the children do not suffer. Always remember that. They do not suffer in that limbo, since they have never been guilty of an actual sin. But neither will they ever enjoy the supernatural rewards of heaven. They'll never see, for example, the face of God in the beatific vision, because they never possessed sanctifying grace, which is the seed of glory. Grace sprouts into glory. Theirs is not a supernatural, but only a natural happiness, which will never end in the limbo of children. But lastly, we have the limbo of the just. This is also called hell. The limbo of the just is a middle place, the Catechism tells us this, somewhere between heaven and hell. It has been called many other things before. Abraham's bosom is one name that was given to it, symbolizing the great rest and repose that was there. Do you remember that came from the parable of Lazarus and the rich man? Lazarus sat outside the rich man's house every day, begging for even just a crumb to fall from the table so that he could eat. And the rich man refused him this act of charity. And eventually, Lazarus died, and he went into the bosom of Abraham. He went to limbo, and there he rested on Abraham's bosom. Again, a symbol of the consolation that exists in the limbo of the just. Saint Peter called it a prison, and our Lord called this limbo a paradise. When he said to Saint Dismas the good thief, "Amen, amen, I say to you, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise." But limbo is the place where all of the just who died before Christ had to await the moment when our Lord would open the gates of heaven and lead these souls to their just rewards in heaven. Because up to that time, the gates of heaven were shut. No one, no matter how holy or how devout or how pious, could have entered heaven until the gates were opened by means of our Lord's cross. Now, we say that Christ descended into hell, and we refer to this last place, that of limbo of the just. But it is important to know he did not descend into the hell of the damned. Why? Because had the souls of the damned or the demons ever caught just a single instant glance of our Lord's face, it would have brought them such joy and such happiness that it almost would have made their hell a heaven. And that could not be. He did not descend into the limbo of the children either, for the same reason, almost, that they could never see the face of God either, for they never had sanctifying grace. But most probably, they say, our Lord descended into purgatory to console the souls that were there, as well as into the limbo of the just. Now, who else was present in the limbo of the just? All the just, the Catechism says, who died before our Lord's sacred passion. Among others, among many others, there was Adam and Eve. We don't often think of them, do we, as being saints, Adam and Eve. Usually, when they come up, I hear little children, even adults for that matter, sort of complaining about Adam and Eve. And they get mad at Adam and Eve because they had done so much by that one sin that that it affected the whole human race, and now we have to go to school and suffer and die and do all of these other things that we'd rather not do. Well, they are in heaven. After their sin, they did penance for hundreds and hundreds of years. And when they died, they were taken to the limbo of the just. Also in limbo, there was Abel, who was killed by Cain, and Noah, of course, the great patriarch Abraham, King David, who wrote all of the Psalms, and of course, the patient Job. He was patient on earth through all of his sufferings, and in limbo, he had to be patient just a little bit longer before God would come. But I found out some other interesting detail, too. Who else was there? I always thought that when the flood in the time of Noah happened, the world was just so wicked that it wasn't possible for anyone else other than Noah and his relatives to be saved. But it is true that when they were such sinners, the floods came and the water got deeper and deeper and deeper, and our Lord's mercy at the same time became richer and richer and richer. And so that all of those souls who ignored the warnings of Noah, when they found themselves in the flood waters, they had time to repent, and they died a good and holy death, and then were found in limbo. Of course, too, we have the good Saint Joseph in limbo for a time, and Saint John the Baptist, and Saint Dismas as well, the good thief. There in limbo, all of these holy souls suffered no pain. They had only peaceful rest. It was a place of hope. They knew that one day God would come to them and open the gates of paradise. The only thing that they did not have in limbo was the vision of Almighty God's beautiful face. Now, after our Lord's death, it says that his soul immediately descended into limbo. All the other souls present in limbo were there as prisoners, captives, who were awaiting freedom through redemption. Christ went down not as a captive, not as a prisoner, but as one who was victorious and who came to free the captive souls. He came not as one who is redeemed, but as the Redeemer himself. He came into limbo as king to announce that now his kingdom was not only found in heaven, now it was not only found spread all over the earth, but now it had reached even the lower places under the earth. He went into limbo as a priest to save all of those souls who had believed in him. And he came lastly as a prophet to foretell their redemption and their entrance into heaven. So we might ask, as we reflect on this doctrine in the light of today's gospel, Quo vadis? Lord, where are you going? And you might hear our Lord say to you, I am descending into hell to open the gates of heaven for my faithful servants who have been waiting for just this moment. But to conclude this sermon this morning, this article of the Creed should be something that we not only memorize and that's it, it remains just a sterile truth in the mind. This article of the Creed, the descent into hell, should be a consolation for us, just as it was for the souls in limbo for those 3 days after our Lord's death. For it reveals what about our Lord? It reveals truly his thoughtfulness, his goodness, and his kindness toward his friends. See how immediately after his death, he descends to these souls in limbo to bring them some consolation. For all of these years they had waited, nothing. But our Lord descends. They see his beautiful face, and it becomes, as it were, a sort of paradise. And he tells them, in just a few days, you will be with me in the beatific vision. What consolation he offered those souls first and foremost. But remember those bad days we were talking about at the beginning of the sermon? When we feel like telling someone to go to hell? Well, Christ descends to this earth of ours. And sometimes it too can be a living hell for us. But he comes to console us, to strengthen us in our daily lives. In fact, that is the whole reason he lives in our tabernacle. To be with us, the Emmanuel, God with us, to console us all the days of our lives. So on those bad days of your life, rather than telling someone to go to hell, meditate on our Lord and his descent into hell, where he goes to console his faithful. And if you let him, he'll come to console you too. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.